Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. We will read through verse 21, and after we will reread two verses in Colossians chapter 3. But again, first, beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Apostle Paul writes this: "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And then again, a few pages later, Colossians chapter 3, just two verses, 16 and 17. Again, Paul writes to us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Well, as many of you know, today marks the beginning of a new study, as much of our time and focus during these prayer meetings will be given to reading the Psalms, to singing the Psalms, and to the praying of the Psalms. Now, I firmly believe that all of us here have greatly benefited from the Psalms in one way or another, that we can all say in unison, in agreement, that the Psalms are essential to the Christian life and to the corporate life of the church as a whole. But if someone were to come to you and ask you a question, "Why should I study the Psalms?" what would you say? If someone were to ask, perhaps your own child, your friends or family, if they were to ask you, "Why should I study the Psalms? Why should I read the Psalms? How would I benefit from the Psalms?" how would you go about answering that question? Why the Psalms? And so what I wanted to do together this evening is answer this very simple question by considering with you together three benefits that we get from the Psalms. Three benefits. And the first benefit being that the Psalms are linked to our life in Jesus Christ and His church. Again, the first benefit is the Psalms are linked to our life in Jesus Christ and His church. Now, unlike the false gods that we find scattered all throughout the Scriptures, for example, Moloch in the book of Leviticus, who demanded human sacrifices, the God of the Bible, our God, He desires and He longs for us to bless others when we meet together. In other words, when we gather together corporately for corporate worship, as we're doing right now, there exists no discrepancy, no contradiction, no conflict between our worship to God and our love toward one another. Rather, it would be right and true for us to say that our love for God involves our love for one another, which is to say, to be united to Christ involves our union to one another. We're united together as the family of God. And this is most clearly reflected to us in the first and second greatest commandment, the love for God and the love for neighbor. Now, when Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms," Paul is essentially saying this to us. He's saying, Christ's dwelling within you is validated by your singing of the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. In other words, our union with Christ is evidenced, it's demonstrated, when we teach and admonish one another with the Psalms, as we live out, as it were, our union with one another. This to say, brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ tonight, if you call yourselves Christians tonight, You and I have the God-given responsibility and stewardship. We have the ministry to demonstrate our union with Christ in how we teach and admonish one another with the Psalms. And that because our union with Christ and our union with one another as the Church of Christ is directly knit together. It goes together hand in hand. So much so that as much as the rejection to worship God is to deny God His due glory, it's just as much of a denial to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ when you refrain from teaching and admonishing one another with the Psalms. Another way to put it, to reject the divine mandate to teach and encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord is to ultimately deny them of their blood-bought right to be encouraged and taught by you. It's to taint and it's to tarnish your union with the Savior and His beloved bride, the church. You see, it's here in our union with Jesus that we find this beautiful ecosystem of saints drawing in and pointing one another to the Son of God with the Psalms. The Psalms do that for us. And so the first great benefit that we have with the Psalms is that it intimately links our lives in Jesus Christ and His church. The second benefit, the Psalms promote and shape godly living. Said in another way, there is a doctrinal completeness of the Psalms that is fitting for the whole and for the entirety of Christian living. Martin Luther, in his work, Preface to the Psalters, refers to the Psalms as a little Bible. As he continues to write, he writes in this preface, in the Psalms is comprehended most beautifully everything that is in the entirety of the Holy Scriptures. Prior to Luther, Athanasius, the 3rd and 4th century church father, he refers to the Psalms as the epitome of the whole entirety of the Bible. Now, when it comes to the wider context of Ephesians 5 and Colossians chapter 3, Paul highlights for us concrete realities of a life of faith that's lived in Jesus Christ. See then that you walk circumspectly, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:15, emphasizing how Christians are to live and how Christians are to behave. We're exhorted to walk not as fools, but as wise. There's practical wisdom for daily living that the Psalms work within us. The Psalms help us more deeply, Ephesians 5:17, understand what the will of the Lord is. This to say, beloved, the Psalms, along with the whole of Scripture, absolutely. But the Psalms is not merely to be grasped with a cerebral understanding, but with an understanding that's to work itself out in effective and active living. Gospel-centered, gospel-credible lives. There's a reason why in both Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 that we find this divine exhortation to speak and to sing the psalm so closely knit to practical Christian living. And the reason why is this. It's because we find within the Psalms the voice of God who speaks by the Holy Spirit to human hearts, to exhort and to comfort us, to instruct and to assist the Christian believer in all spheres and stages in life, for all of us. Another way to put it, there isn't a psalm that you cannot find that isn't perfectly suited for every occasion in life. The whole range of the Christian experience is expressed within the Psalms. We find it within the Psalms. Just think of how many times you've thought to yourself while reading through the Psalms, where you've thought to yourself, this psalm just feels like it was written for me. The Psalms, it feels like this writer, that God is speaking to me. John Calvin refers to the Psalms as anatomy, an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. in which there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. You see, brothers and sisters, as we consider the Psalms, it's right for us to expect the Psalms to speak into our lives and to bear fruit in our lives. And that because the Psalms are a means of grace to promote and shape godly living. The struggling teenager at home is helped by the Psalms just as much as the struggling husband in his marriage. The employee struggling with discontentment, resentment, and bitterness is aided by the Psalms just as much as the single man or single woman combating loneliness, discontentment. You see, we find within the Psalms a wholeness to it, a wholeness. God has given to us a divine psalter to address the whole of human life, the whole of the human experience, the light and the dark, the delightful and the degrading, the victorious and the defeating, the hopeful and, yes, the discouraging. Basil the Great, another patristic, beautifully summarizes this point in this way. The book of the Psalms is a compendium of all divinity. The Psalms is a common store of medicine for the soul, a universal magazine of good doctrines, profitable to everyone in every condition. And so we discover that the Psalms are intimately linked to our life in Christ and His church. The Psalms promote and shape godly living. And third and lastly, the Psalms teach us how to sing and how to pray. Perhaps to your surprise, Christians need to be taught how to sing and how to pray. To sing and to pray in a way that is pleasing to God is not natural to us, and it's not innate. Though we no doubt have a free and glorious access to the Father by the Spirit, Ephesians 2:18, this is yet not the whole truth about prayer. We need to learn how to ask and lift up our prayers and petitions according to God's will, so that 1 John 5:14, He will hear us. Now, the need to learn how to sing and how to pray, it shouldn't come to us as a surprise. We find in the scriptures John the Baptist teaching his disciples how to pray. Jesus' disciples, his own disciples, asked him in Luke 11, Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus answered their request in teaching them to what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Danny taught on this recently. And the Lord's Prayer stands at the very tip of the Bible iceberg of how God teaches His people and His church to pray. But simultaneously, a significant part of that Bible iceberg on the bottom we find filled with the Psalms. Now, one of the greatest gifts and one of the greatest benefits that we receive through the Psalms is that God gives to us vocabulary. He gives to us a lexicon of words to speak in our singing and in our praying. The Psalms as a whole serves as a manual on how Christian believers in the Church of Christ can and should and must call upon God. It's not frivolous worship. It's directed by God. You see, the Psalms provides for us a heavenly vernacular. Heavenly words that are far better than any words that you and I can muster up and formulate for ourselves when we sing and pray. Again, quoting another church father, Augustine. This is perhaps one of my favorite quotes. Well, he writes this. He says, no one can sing. And this, of course, applies to prayer. But he writes, no one can sing anything worthy of God which he has not received from himself. Therefore, even after we have carefully searched everywhere and searched high and low, we shall find no better songs nor more appropriate songs to sing to this end than to sing the Psalms, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And for this reason, he writes, when we sing them, we are assured that God puts the very words in our mouths as if he himself were singing through us to exalt his glory. What a wonderful writing. Brothers and sisters, as we consider the Psalms, we need to, and we would do well to recognize that we have in our very own possessions the only canonical hymn book in existence. You want to sing a song that is without any error, you sing the Psalms. In other words, these Psalms of Holy Scripture are the divinely inspired songs written by God, not just to be recognized by his people, but it's to be read and it's to be studied, it's to be examined. And yes, it's to be prayed. And yes, it's to be sung. You see, the Psalms provide for us as individuals and as a church a compendium of verbal images and names and terminology with which we are to understand God and how we are to approach God, how we're to relate to God. The Psalms teach us how to speak to God. The Psalms teach us how to depend on God. The Psalms teach us how to pray and sing to God, as it provides for us the language we need and must use in our response of worship to him. Now, as we conclude again, why should we study the Psalms? Well, we study the Psalms because they're linked to our life in Christ and his church. We study the Psalms because they promote and shape our lives to godly living. And we study the Psalms because they teach us how to sing and how to pray. But perhaps we can more simply say this: we study and we must study the Psalms because we worship a God who keeps his promise. God is a promise-keeping God. We study and we read, we pray, we sing the Psalms because God has promised to bless those who live in his word and those who live by his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Beloved, we read and pray and we sing the Psalms because we believe here at this church in the divine power and efficacy of God's holy and living word. Just as we believe here at this church that God's word preached will build the church, we firmly believe that the Psalms prayed and sung will be used by God to cultivate life, spiritual life in this church, and will be used by God for the sake of his kingdom cause. And so as we begin our study in the Psalms, brothers and sisters, may the Lord tremendously bless our efforts for our good, and ultimately for his glory. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your most precious word, for your word teaches us, it nourishes us, it guides us, and gives to us the language that we need to worship you in a way that is well-pleasing to you. Oh, may we never look to anything or to anyone else, to no other source, to accomplish or establish only what you can build. For it is your word alone, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that can solely equip us, this church, for every good work. And so may we be a people who not only know and study the scriptures, but may we be for you a people who live out your word, and that by singing your word, and especially now as we pray your word, bless this time now, we ask, for the building up of your kingdom's cause and for your glory. We lift up this prayer in the great and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.